I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
Hello and welcome into this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping that so far your week is going well. It's the midweek edition of the podcast. Welcome to Wednesday. Good to have you along today. Thank you so much for listening. Holy cow. Hopefully your day is going well. You've had a good day. That your yesterday was good. And you're looking forward to a great day to remain. It is it's looking like it's shaping up to be a rainy day in our neighborhood here. The rain coming back. And it's funny because here, I live in North Central Alabama, and the weather here this time of year, you just really don't know what's going to happen. You could have balmy temperatures one day. You could have tornadoes the next day. You could have snow the day after that. it's the wheel of weather. And in the back at TV studios everywhere, meteorologists are spinning the big roulette wheel to pick what the forecast is going to be. It's just odd. Do you get more firewood? Do you not? Do you put the winter wear away? Do you keep it out? What do you do? It's just that time of year for us here. Unlike some places where, you know, it's just going to be cold. It's just going to be cold. I'm speaking to my brother who lives in Fairbanks. It's just going to be cold, right? Yeah, it is. But not here. It's a coin toss. So it'll be interesting. I think I'll just stay inside all day. That's what I'll do. I'll lock myself in the studio, which honestly I have to do because I have this ginormous. I have two things to do. I have another podcast besides this one that has to be edited and processed. And I'm rebuilding a website for an old client, and I just need to stay inside and get focused. So I guess I'll send the dog out to get lunch. I don't know what I'll do, but that looks like my day today. Hopefully yours is better than mine. So much has been happening. Wow, the ripple effect from Don Lemon, who I called Don Lemon so many times yesterday. And you know, the reason I called him Don Lemon is because Tucker Carlson does. And it just stuck in my head. And at one point I realized that I've been calling him Don Lemon this whole time. But Don Lemon and his chuckle buddies, his chuckle buddy panel at CNN over the weekend did something just deeply insulting. And I don't... Have you seen anything from CNN? Have they made any statements? Has he come out and said anything about it? I haven't seen anything. And I haven't seen anything in my news feeds, my information feeds, to indicate that has happened. But I will tell you this, the GOP, the National Republican, the Republican National Committee, the RNC, launched a new digital ad and a fundraiser yesterday in response to CNN's Don Lemon mocking Trump supporters during a segment on his show that went viral Monday night. The segment, which was from late Saturday night, went largely unnoticed until Monday night when a former CNN employee tweeted out the clip, which quickly got a response from President Donald Trump and other top figures. The segment, as we discussed at length yesterday, featured Don Lemon, I almost called him Lemon again, he's a far-left op-ed and a far-left op-ed writer, Wajahat Ali, and anti-Trump establishment Republican Rick Wilson. By the way, Rick Wilson is, he goes by the title of a strategist, a Republican strategist. Can somebody please find me, do your homework and email me today, or find me on social media and contact me and let me know what campaign Rick Wilson has successfully worked with. Which campaign has he successfully strategized for that's won? Come on. Anyway, they mocked Trump supporters as being uneducated rednecks who could not read, spell, or use maps. RNC spokesman Steve Guest told the Daily Wire in a statement, CNN anchor Don Lemon, the New York Times' Wajahat Ali, and winless carnival barker and scam pack artist Rick Wilson let everyday Americans know what the establishment thinks about them. President Trump's supporters are just a bunch of illiterate idiots deserving of the elite's smug derision. In a matter of seconds, CNN summed up the elite left's disdain for half of America. He adds, reminder for voters, as Joe Biden, Michael Bloomberg, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, and Bernie Sanders campaign across the South for your vote, Lemon, Ali, and Wilson just summarized what these candidates really think of you as they shake your hand and pose for selfies. In an email to voters, RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel said she was absolutely disgusted by the segment, which was viewed well over 10 million times on Twitter in under 24 hours.
Woo!
McDaniel said, the other night on CNN, Don Lemon and his liberal friends laid their cards on the table and made it obvious what elites think of everyday Americans who support President Trump. These radical hacks painted conservative voters as illiterate hillbillies on national television because they despise President Trump and they despise you. She went on to say, this is what D.C. Democrats like Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Michael Bloomberg, and Elizabeth Warren truly think of you. I can't think of a better way to show them just how wrong they are about us than by absolutely crushing our January end-of-month goal and their socialist candidates. Now, they produced, the RNC produced an ad based on Don Lemon's deeply insulting segment from over the weekend. And here's the audio of that ad.
Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
And so that's partly him playing to their base.
Anyone who supported this president is, at best, looking the other way on racism, at best.
You know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're, oh, y'all elitists are them.
Trump always loves the low information guy.
You elitists with your geography and your maps.
Issue of racism across the country, because that's his base.
Your math and your reading.
Yeah, you're reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries.
And the text at the end says they think you're a joke. Let's get rid of them in November or something to that effect. It's a good, effective ad. It brings Hillary Clinton back into the mix with her basket of deplorables comment. It brings in some pundits from other networks talking about racism and generally exposes these elite leftists for who and what they truly are. It's a very sad day in America. We are deeply divided as a nation. And I have a news alert, a shocker for my liberal friends. It isn't Donald Trump who's divided us. It's the left. Because the left has been working on dividing us for a long, long time. They've been ideologically pitting us against one another for a long, long time. I mentioned the other day how it is when I talk with liberal friends and how they're angry about their employers. They're angry about anyone who disagrees with them. They're never happy about life unless, like Don Lemon and his Chuckle Buddy panel, they're laughing at someone else. It's a sad state of affairs. They draw this line in the sand between ideologies and they mock. And they further divide people. They can't seem to learn the lesson. Even the Weeble, Jerry Nadler in his arguments last week from the Senate floor said things that divided people, that accused senators who would vote to clear Trump and to move forward with our lives, accused them of being guilty of cover-up and crime, insulting their intelligence, implying that they're too stupid to understand the gravity of the situation and what they must do for America. So we see these people, these leftists, these, can I air quote, progressives, who clearly aren't making any progress in the world. In fact, they progress their cause by regressing the civility in a nation. And when you look at the history of the world, wherever their cause has come up and pushed forward and succeeded, it's done so by dividing people against one another. Example, Nazi Germany. Oh, but Mark, they were on the right. No. No, they weren't. You can make excuses. You can redefine the meanings of some things. But what they did was socialism. And what they accomplished was murdering countless numbers of people who they believed were unworthy. In that scenario, they took the basket of deplorables and marched them to gas chambers. The end of progressivism, the progressive movement, and socialism is always marginalizing people, and quite often, death. So it's extremely urgent at this time in our nation's history for those of us who recognize the problem to stand up and deal with the problem. We have to let people know that Don Lemon and his chuckle buddy panel and the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and especially Bernie Sanders, all of those people stand for something which has again and again resulted in the wholesale murder of those who disagree. Now, they will vehemently disagree with what I just said. They will say, I'm taking things out of context. They will say, I'm misrepresenting what they believe. This is what Bernie does all the time. Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. No, no, no. Venezuela is not a good representation. But the truth of the matter is that wherever their ideology has been put into play, they have done so by deceiving the public, getting the public to vote for it, and then people have to fight to get out of it. Just look at Venezuela as your example, even though they don't want you to. Look at Venezuela. They were lied to. They voted democratic socialism in. They thought it was going to be this wonderful, fair, equitable system. The playing field would be level. Everybody would be treated equally. Everybody would have everything they wanted. After all, they were a fabulously wealthy nation. They were oil producing. They had riches beyond compare. One of the richest nations in the world. And why shouldn't that continue and everybody benefit equally from it? Well, what they don't tell you when they're campaigning for democratic socialism is that in the history of socialism, in any name, those who run the show get fabulously wealthy. They live the high life. Everything is great for them. And the people who aren't running the show are standing in line for bread. It's happened again and again and again around the world. And eventually, the people have had enough. They either leave or they rise up against their government. And that has always been the end result. And these people, like Don Lemon and his panel of chuckle buddies are too dense to learn the lesson. If there's anybody who can't find something on a map, it's leftists like Don Lemon and his friends. And what they don't see on the map is that they're driving themselves and everybody who loves them over the cliff. And unless they change direction, terrible things will happen. So good for the RNC for putting together this ad and fundraising off of the horror that is progressivism. I hope it does really well for them. More after the break, when the Daily Perspective continues.
Dang it, Bobby!
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It is the Wednesday, January 29th, 2020 edition of the podcast. Let me see, what number is this? 154? Podcast number 154, I believe. Wow. Yeah, I'm taking a couple of breaks. I've been doing this for a couple of years, and I've had a couple of lengthy breaks because of knee surgeries. But, wow. I'm also producing another podcast that's just hit, It's about to hit 50. And I've been along for about 20 of those. But I got to tell you, this podcast production thing is kind of cool. And I thank you for listening. Thank you so much. It is a midweek edition of the podcast. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. And maybe we'll get to all of it. Maybe we won't. WikiLeaks has kind of come to the rescue again. We'll talk about that in a little while. John Bolton, some suspicious stuff going on with him. Hopefully we'll have time for that. Senator Rand Paul was not happy with something Chuck Schumer said. I really hope we get to that. Trump's legal team finished up their defense, and if you missed what Pat Cipollone had to say, I've got that for you, and I want to play that audio for you coming up probably in the next segment. But first, what people are calling the Kung Flu, the Nora coronavirus, the U.S. State Department said citizens should reconsider travel to China in light of the deadly coronavirus that has killed at least 80 people there. And it's more than that now, appearing around the globe from Singapore to Paris. May also expand travel screening at the borders, closely monitoring people to stop the virus, testing for presence of the pathogen. As of the other day, there have been no new U.S. cases after the first five were identified. But this whole thing, and there's a long article here, and I'll pass it along in the show notes today. But the CDC has said it has developed plans for a test. It's going to be sharing that, or has started sharing that with the states to diagnose new cases, because really we don't know how many of these cases have slipped through before somebody raised their hand and said, oh, by the way. And there's indication that China wasn't very forthcoming. And they only said, yeah, we're dealing with this, when somebody else raised a hand and said, by the way, have you seen what's happening here? Which is kind of typical for the behavior of a communist nation. They kind of keep things undercover until it's obvious to the rest of the world, and then they say, ah, yeah, we've got it under control. When the last thing they have is it under control. It's happened so many times. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, they're spearheading the response here in the U.S., issued a stern warning the other day, their highest level advisory. They recommended that travelers avoid all non-essential travel to China. The warning emphasized that the area is apt to have limited medical care available, and it recommended, among other things, that older adults and travelers with underlying health issues take particular care, and that contact with animals, living animals or dead animals, or animal markets be avoided. The virus is thought to have originated through a marketplace, although we don't really know. It's all kind of theory up until now. But please let me remind you what I said the other day, and that is that we see this happen often enough that we shouldn't be in a panic about it. We should be aware. We should be careful. We should be wise. But we should not be in a panic about this, because panicking means you're not thinking. And you should be thinking. You should be rational. You should be reasonable. And you should handle yourself accordingly. Remember that last year, the flu killed around 6,000 people in America. Around 6,000 people died of the flu, which in itself is, to me, astonishing, given the level of health care we have in the United States. How do people die of the flu? But they do. 6,000. And odds are that that number will still stand high above the number of victims of coronavirus. It's just be wise, okay? Don't panic. The Democrats are panicking about various things. You don't need to panic about this. Just be smart, okay? That's what you need to do. The Democrat socialist from Vermont, Bernie Sanders, according to Daily Wire, he's been running for president for more than 5 years. He's suddenly rising fast in the polls. Voters in Iowa and New Hampshire prepare to cast their ballots in the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, and Bernie is on the rise. And that's making a bunch of Democrats nervous. Pete Buttigieg, the campaign, his campaign said in a recent email to supporters, Bernie Sanders could be the nominee of our party. Bernie's campaign is outraising and outspending us. If this continues, there's a good chance he wins the Iowa caucuses. As he rises to the top, Sanders is enjoying the chance to needle the establishment that controls the Democratic Party, saying they're looking at recent polls in New Hampshire and in Iowa, and they're saying, oh my God, Sanders can win. That's what he told a packed auditorium in Ames, Iowa. He also said, suddenly we have the Democrats establishment very nervous about this campaign. We got Wall Street nervous. They're starting to think this could really happen. He was speaking to a crowd of roughly 1,100 people Sunday night in Sioux City. Wait a minute, 1,100? Dang, Bernie got 1,100 people. Wow. There you go, Bernie. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has thousands upon thousands of people waiting outdoors, many of them camping since Sunday night to see him Tuesday night. A packed auditorium, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people in the Democratic stronghold of New Jersey. Not looking good for Bernie. Not in the end. A slew of new polls for Iowa and New Hampshire, the first two states to cast ballots in the race for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination, show Sanders is surging. Iowa's caucuses are next Monday, while the New Hampshire primary is a week away. Just a week away. The very latest poll for Iowa by Emerson puts Sanders at 30%, former VP Joe Biden at 21%, Senator Elizabeth Warren at 11%. Yeah, she's just spiraling into the ground now. Follow the smoke trail. You'll find her at the bottom of it. Sanders is leading in Iowa in the latest New York Times Siena poll at 25% to former South Bend, Indiana Buttigieg's 18%, Biden's 17%. 6-point gain there for Sanders. In New Hampshire, a poll released last Thursday by WBUR-TV gave Sanders a commanding 12-point lead over his rivals, with Buttigieg and in second place, Biden in third. Biden is dropping in all the latest polls, but not as much as Warren, who is plunging now. Now, that is a TV station, okay? That's a local poll with that 12-point lead, so it's really hard to take that seriously. By the way, may I remind you that polling is hard to trust in any way? Just as long as you remember that. And another New Hampshire poll, this one by CNN, University of New Hampshire, released on Sunday, showed Sanders has pulled out to a 9-point lead over Biden at 16%, Buttigieg at 15%. And an NBC Marist poll published over the weekend gave Sanders a 5-point lead over his rivals. RealClearPolitics.com keeps a running average of all polls. In Iowa, Sanders has gone from 18% on December 1st of last year to 25% this week, giving him a 3-point lead. Meanwhile, Warren has gone from 22.5 on November 1st to 13.5 this week. She's dropped 9 points in the Real Clear Politics poll, which is more trustworthy than most others. But Sanders' far-left proposals, massive new taxes, free health care for all, free college, more open borders, have some in the center worried. Matt Bennett, he's the vice president of the centrist Democratic think tank Third Way, told NBC News, "We issued a warning a year ago that Sanders could win the nomination and would likely lose to Trump. And we've been the only ones really taking the fight to him. It's past time for other Democrats to come off the sidelines and for the media to start doing its job to vet a serious contender for the nomination. We simply can't stand by while there's a threat that Democrats could nominate a guy who would hand such nuclear-level ammunition to the Trump campaign." Well, fine, you can look at it that way if you like, sir, but I would say that nobody you have lined up can defeat Donald Trump in November. Nobody. So if you're pulling for creepy Uncle Joe, go ahead. He'll get walloped even worse. But that's just my not-so-humble opinion. And there you have it.
Once again, I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, me too. I'm a little disappointed. Oh, man. I told you a little earlier that I wanted you to hear Pat Cipollone's closing remarks from the other day, because honestly, the news media has done a really, really poor job of letting us in on things. I mean, even Fox News cut out at one point and went to a panel to discuss things instead of letting America actually see and hear what was going on. It is it's a sad state of affairs. It truly, truly is. And I want you, for yourself, to hear his closing argument. And I've got the audio here. It's about 6.5 minutes long. So I'm going to step back and just let you hear what Pat Cipollone had to say as he closed out the arguments from Trump's team before the Senate.
We've made three basic points. One, all you need in this case is the Constitution and your common sense. You just look at the articles of impeachment. The articles of impeachment fall far short of any constitutional standard, and they are dangerous. And if you look to the words from the past that I think are instructive, as I said last night, they're instructive because they were right then and they're right now. And I'll leave you with some of those words.
There must never be a narrowly voted impeachment or an impeachment supported by one of our major political parties and opposed by the other. Such an impeachment will produce the divisiveness and bitterness in our politics for years to come and will call into question the very legitimacy of our political institutions.
This is unfair to the American people. By these actions, you would undo the free election that expressed the will of the American people in 1996. In so doing, you will damage the faith the American people have in this institution and in the American democracy. You will set the dangerous precedent that the certainty of presidential terms, which has so benefited our wonderful America, will be replaced by the partisan use of impeachment. Future presidents will face election, then litigation, then impeachment. The power of the president will diminish in the face of the Congress, a phenomenon much feared by the founding fathers.
This is a constitutional amendment that we are debating, not an impeachment resolution. The Republicans are crossing out the impeachment standard of high crimes and misdemeanors, and they are inserting the words any crime or misdemeanor. We are permitting a constitutional coup d'etat, which will haunt this body and our country forever.
I warn my colleagues that you will reap the bitter harvest of the unfair partisan seeds you sowed today. The constitutional provision for impeachment is a way to protect our government and our citizens, not another weapon in the political arsenal.
I expect history will show that we've lowered the bar on impeachment so much. We have broken the seal on this extremely extreme penalty so cavalierly that it will be used as a routine tool to fight political battles. My fear is that when a Republican wins the White House, Democrats will demand payback.
You were right. But I'm sorry to say you were also prophetic. And I think I couldn't say it better myself, so I won't. You know what the right answer is in your heart. You know what the right answer is for our country. You know right what the right answer is for the American people. What they are asking you to do is to throw out a successful president on the eve of an election with no basis and in violation of the Constitution. It would dangerously change our country and weaken forever all of our democratic institutions. You all know that's not in the interest of the American people. Why not trust the American people with this decision? Why tear up their ballots? Why tear up every ballot across this country? You can't do that. You know you can't do that. So I ask you to defend our Constitution, to defend fundamental fairness, to defend basic due process rights, but most importantly, to respect and defend the sacred right of every American to vote and to choose their president. The election is only months away. The American people are entitled to choose their president. Overturning the last election and massively interfering with the upcoming one would cause serious and lasting damage to the people of the United States and to our great country. The Senate cannot allow this to happen. It is time for this to end, here and now. So we urge the Senate to reject these articles of impeachment for all of the reasons we have given you. You know them all. I don't need to repeat them. They've repeatedly said over and over again, a quote from Benjamin Franklin, "It's a republic if you can keep it." And every time I heard it, I said to myself, "It's a republic if they let us keep it." And I have every confidence in your wisdom. You will do the only thing you can do, what you must do, what the Constitution compels you to do: reject these articles of impeachment for our country and for the American people. It will show that you put the Constitution above partisanship. It will show that we can come together on both sides of the aisle and end the era of impeachment for good. You know it should end. You know it should end. It will allow you all to spend all of your energy and all of your enormous talent and all of your resources on doing what the American people sent you here to do, to work together, to work with the president, to solve their problems. So this should end now, as quickly as possible.
And he's right. This should end as quickly as possible. And I realize that Mitch McConnell said
early yesterday, he said he didn't have enough votes to make sure that there were no witnesses. And we want this to be over with. Witnesses just means it drags on. And it also plays into exactly what the leftist Democrats want. They want it to drag on. They want as much confusion and dirt as possible. They want to keep feeding all of the mud in the water so it just stays stirred up. That's what they want. It's not that it'll accomplish anything. They had opportunities before to call witnesses and did not. They had a chosen few, but they didn't call important ones that could actually make their case because they knew those important witnesses couldn't make their case. And Pat Cipollone referred to Benjamin Franklin at one point and what he said when someone asked him about the Constitution, the form of government that they had worked out. And his words were, it's a republic if you can keep it. And he looked at the Democrats and said, well, it is a republic if you let us keep it. The thing is that the Democrats quoted him again and again, quoted Ben Franklin about the republic. And the last thing they want is a republic. They don't want a representative republic. They want a democracy. They want the majority to rule. They want mob rule. Because they know that they can fan the emotions of the people and get what they want that way, rather than it all being tempered the way a republic works. Make no mistake about it, the Democrats are not interested in fair representative government. The Democrats are interested in rulership. Never forget that. Never forget that. And they will say and do anything to influence the easily swayed to achieve their goals. For example, Chuck Schumer Tuesday insinuated the president's adult children were making money through his dealings with world leaders, such as China's Xi Jinping and Turkey's Recep Tayyip Erdogan. And this is crazy. There's no evidence. There's no proof. He's just floating something out there to stir his people up. Senator Rand Paul was furious about that. Furious. He said, I'm offended and shocked that Schumer would be so scurrilous as to accuse the president and his children of making money off of politics when the only people we know have made money off of this have been Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. That's what he told Fox News America's newsroom after Schumer, moments earlier in a press conference, brought up the family's name. While commenting on Trump's ongoing Senate trial, Schumer said there are several members of the administration who had concerns about the president's dealings with autocrats, especially Xi and Erdogan. Schumer says, did he have financial interest at stake when he talked to them or others? Maybe his kids had some economic interest at stake. Schumer also commented on former National Security Advisor John Bolton's manuscript and its revelations as a warning to Senate Republicans, saying, if you vote with the White House to suppress and cover up evidence, the odds are strong that the truth will eventually come out. In a few weeks or a few months, do my Republican colleagues want to pick up the paper and read one of the witnesses they blocked had crucial information about the president's misconduct? Paul, in response, pointed out that Hunter Biden makes $1 million a year. That's documented. John Bolton is making money as we speak. He's probably already gotten a several million-dollar advance for his book. To have Schumer come up and say out of the blue, maybe the president's kids are making money with no evidence at all, that's defamation, and they ought to sue him. He also slammed Bolton for his claims, saying it's hard to believe him when he stands to make money from his claims. Quote, he didn't want to testify in the House a month ago. But at that point, Bolton's book wasn't finished. Now it's finished, he wants to testify. You should take with a grain of salt anything he wants to say. Good for you, Senator Paul. You've pointed it out. It's absolutely true. John Bolton can't be trusted. And even if he was telling the truth, it doesn't matter. I'm sorry. What did I do? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the midweek edition. Happy Wednesday. Hope you're having a good one. Stand up on your tiptoes. You can see the weekend from here. Come on. You can make it. We were talking about John Bolton before the break. Talking about how he's making money off the book deal. It turns out that's not the only place he's made money. Former White House National Security Advisor John Bolton pocketed $115,000 from Ukrainian steel oligarch Viktor Pinchuk's foundation shortly before he entered President Trump's White House as National Security Advisor, a position first held in the Trump White House by General Michael Flynn. Bolton's unpublished manuscript reportedly accuses Trump of wanting to withhold military aid to Ukraine, but Trump denies this had anything to do with the quid pro quo situation. Democrats are clamoring to call Bolton as a witness in Trump's Senate impeachment trial regarding his alleged pressuring of the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden's alleged corruption in the country's oil and gas industry. Ukraine's President Zelensky adamantly denies that Trump pressured him. So, by the way, I mentioned right before the break, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And that's because constitutional experts have said, even if what he said is true, it makes no difference. It does not rise to the level of an impeachable offense. The Democrats are trying to make it something like that. They're trying to make it something horrible, but it doesn't rise to that level. They're trying to create an impeachable crime out of something that is not impeachable. Former Bush UN Ambassador Bolton served as Trump's national security advisor from April 2018 to September 2019. Bolton is known as a rabid neoconservative interventionist. President Donald Trump fired Bolton and cited his opposition to Bolton's establishment foreign policy views, accusing Bolton of undermining his negotiations with the North Korean regime. The neocon wing strongly supports the U.S. funding and arming of Ukraine to challenge Russian leader Vladimir Putin, an oil exporter who is hated by the Washington foreign policy establishment. A financial disclosure shows that Bolton accepted $115,000 from the Viktor Pinchuk Foundation for a pair of speeches in September 2017 and February 2018. At the former speech in Kiev, Bolton sat on a panel and basically expressed that the national security establishment would not allow Trump to become unconventional on policy, stating, "The notion that Trump's presidency is going to represent a dramatic break in foreign policy is just wrong. Calm down, for God's sake." This, by the way, is at the core of much of what the Democrats are trying to get across to people. They're saying that Trump should follow the advice of his diplomats. He should follow the policy that's already been set. And they're ignoring the fact that the president is the one who sets foreign policy. As the Washington Post noted, Pinchuk has exceeded $10 million in donations to the Clinton Foundation. Republicans are not taking the alleged accusation in Bolton's unpublished manuscript too seriously, though. North Carolina Representative Mark Meadows cut right through the machinations of the bipartisan swamp class Monday, throwing shade on Bolton's unverified claim that President Trump wanted to withhold Ukraine's military aid for some reason, possibly due to Ukraine's well-documented interference in the 2016 election against Trump. Republicans continue to rally behind the president, except for possibly the Rhino wing led by Senator Susan Collins and Utah Senator Mitt Romney, who is crafting mainstream media headlines with his pro-Bolton advocacy. Yeah, he's been a pro-Bolton guy, and he's, God love him, he's, you want to look up the word Rhino? They'll say, no, he doesn't fit this. He's just a liberal. And speaking of this leak, okay, I mentioned yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, that the Bolton leak came from the same place as other leaks we've seen in the past, during the Kavanaugh case, and actually went to the same people as the Kavanaugh leaks. Do you remember the name Maggie Haberman? Maggie Haberman. She's with the New York Times. She's the one who wrote the bombshell article about John Bolton's manuscript and claims that he holds information that could convict the president. Should be completely ignored or mocked for what it is, planted opposition strategy. It's an indisputable fact that Haberman was used by the Hillary Clinton campaign to plant stories favorable to Clinton in the press. John Podesta's hacked emails prove it. See, she was one of the ones I misspoke. This is about the Podesta emails and all of that stuff. If you've forgotten about it, there's a link in this story. Please get the show notes. Here's what the campaign staff said about Haberman. As discussed in our call, we're all in agreement that the time is right to place a story with a friendly journalist in the coming days that positions us a little more transparently while achieving the above goals. Who? For something like this, especially in the absence of us teasing things out to others, we feel that it's important to go with what is safe and what has worked in the past. Remember that. They're going with something or someone who is safe and has worked in the past, and to a publication that will reach industry people for recruitment purposes. We've had a very good relationship with Maggie Haberman of Politico over the last year. We've had her tee up stories for us. Had her tee up stories for us before and have never been disappointed. While we should have a larger conversation in the near future about a broader strategy for re-engaging the beat press that covers HRC, for this we think we can achieve our objective and do the most shaping by going to Maggie. So you see, the Clinton campaign knew that going to Maggie Haberman would be beneficial. They trusted her to do the right thing for them because she had in the past. Democrats can do the most shaping of their narrative by going to Maggie. Isn't that special? Now fast forward to Haberman's latest bombshell about John Bolton's manuscript that was perfectly timed to disrupt the Senate impeachment hearings. The release of the allegations was maximized to cause the maximum upset and chaos possible right at the beginning of the Senate trial. Does anyone think that was an accident? Haberman is a literal known operative for the Democrat Party. She is the one they go to when they want a story placed. Anyone using anything she writes for any purpose other than to line a birdcage or wrap fish should be ashamed of themselves. Instead of being censured by the journalistic world for purposefully helping a presidential contender with her messaging instead of objectively reporting the news, Haberman won a Pulitzer. This is how Democrats work. They cheat, lie, and scheme, and then they give awards to one another for doing it. Look for Haberman to be awarded again sometime soon for her role in this new charade. If Republican senators don't point this out, they're missing an opportunity to expose how the Democrats work and the massive amount of manipulation and control that Democrats hold over the media. And this kind of sums up what I've been saying to you about this story. You can't trust it. It's orchestrated. It's planned. We have the person on the inside who probably leaked the information, and we have the person in the press who accepted the information, and we have a track record on the person in the press who delivered the information, timed perfectly to disrupt things in the hearings in the Senate, to create doubt among those four wishy-washy Republicans. It's all very clear when you know the facts, isn't it? Maggie Haberman wrote the article, published in the New York Times, and she was also the one that the Clinton campaign trusted to deliver information to, because she would deliver for them. This is just one more example of why I tell you, you can't trust the mainstream press. The mainstream press is in the tank for the progressive movement. The mainstream press is not interested in telling you the truth. They're interested in telling you their truth. And if you're an honest person, you know that there is no such thing as your truth. There is the truth, and there is imagination. There is no your truth. And the mainstream press deals in that world all the time. Which is why we saw Don Lemon and his Chuckle Buddy panel laughing it up over the weekend. Because they live in this little bubble of their truth, what they have convinced themselves to believe to be real. And because they believe these things to be real, they believe everyone else is an idiot for believing other things than what they believe. And they ridicule those who don't believe what they believe. Remember, I'm going to pound the drum again here. Progressives wholeheartedly are convinced that they are both intellectually and morally superior to everyone else. They believe that they are somehow the elite intellects in our nation, and they should be trusted with guiding everyone else. This is what they firmly, wholeheartedly believe. And if you doubt them, you're a moron. You're an idiot. You poor bird brain, you just don't understand. Here, let us drive. Stop trying to read the map, we've got it. Trust us. And the whole time, they're living in their little own truth bubble. And they see things from their own perspective, and nothing else can be real. It's happened again and again and again in the history of our world, as government after government has trusted the leadership and the guidance of progressives and dug themselves holes they couldn't get out of. History is littered with the corpses of progressive intentions. Hey, that's it for today. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.